All right, so it might be a little bit confusing because our banner says Belgium and everything, so I'll explain what's going on. First of all, my family's here. I think they introduced them. I'll say it again. Gabby's the oldest, Joab, Kira, Vienna, and Judah, and my wife, Jennifer. Her birthday's Friday, so make sure you say happy birthday afterwards. She will turn 25 again, so. So we did this video about a year ago. We were down there. We made it through COVID and everything. And then, last October, November, the government really started putting a lot of restrictions down, and it got really, really strict. And then they passed a law saying something with the kids. And I'm not saying this to cause division or anything. Lord just hasn't given me peace about giving the kids the COVID vaccine. If you have it, that's perfectly fine. I'm not here to fight things. Just Lord didn't give me peace for it. And they said everyone 5 years old and up had to take two doses of it. And because we were residents there, we fell under their jurisdiction, and they said they'd take our kids away if we didn't. Again, I'm not trying to cause problems. It's just something the Lord told me, or told us. And so the Lord made it very obvious that we could not stay there. And there's several doors that just shut. Landlord sold our house up from underneath us. We weren't able to, we couldn't find a house. There's just many things. The Lord just made it very blatantly obvious that we couldn't stay there any longer. And we did not want to go. Honestly, we thought we'd be in Costa Rica the rest of our lives. We led most of those people to the Lord, baptized most, a lot of them. They were my spiritual babies. That's what I call them, my church babies. And it was just one of the roughest decisions of our lives. But the Lord really made it clear that we couldn't stay there. In fact, I told my dad, I said, Dad, if I stay here, I feel I'm directly disobeying the Lord. And I can't do that, not to my family. Because I'm their leader, right? I'm their head. And if I disobey, God's going to come after me and them. And I said, I can't do that. So we just made the decision that we're going to have to leave. And honestly, I thought we were going to leave the mission field. We left the church with a good man, a good Costa Rican man down there is watching the church, or he took over the church. We merged it with another church. So everyone's still going to church. Everyone's still growing. It's just a blessing to see him keep going in church over there. So we did not want to leave our people without a shepherd. We did not want to leave our sheep without a shepherd. So they're all still going to church, thank the Lord. And I have a very good friend I met in the country on deputation. He's a missionary to the country of Belgium. And for three, four years, I've been doing things online with him. I've preached for his church on Zoom. And all during the pandemic, we just do a lot of things online together. Two or three times a month, we do stuff. And I told him we were doing a Bible challenge or something. And I told him, bro, you just pray for us because this is very difficult. We didn't want to leave. But I knew we had to, and he said, well, why don't you pray about coming over here? I said, okay, but I didn't pray. You know, you just kind of say, okay, and you don't really pray for it. That's what I did. Like when kids say, can we go for ice cream? You say, maybe we'll see. It was one of those. I said, maybe we'll see. So then once we realized, I'm very blatant in my life there. Very blunt, everyone says, too much. So we started praying a little bit, and then just came. And I was kind of dragging my feet. I was hoping, you know, maybe these restrictions will lift. Maybe everything will go. We can stay here in Costa Rica. And things just kept getting worse. And so around January, I really started praying in earnest. And Lord just started opening up all the doors. And he closed all the doors in Costa Rica. And he opened up all the doors down there over there in Belgium. And I know it's a different language. I've had many people say, how do these two fit? And honestly, it's because I want to go over there and work with him. Lord opened the door for me. My wife has a weak heart, so the heat, she really just can't take it. She can't take the heat of Central America and the elevation where we were at. And I kind of like my wife. I want her to stick around a long time. And we've been married 18 years, so I've grown fond of her over the time. So I feel if I want to stay in the field long term and I want her to be healthy, I need a cooler climate. So we both grew up around Chicagoland area. So the weather in Belgium is about the same as Chicagoland area. So I know she can handle that. I know she'll be fine there. And Lord just started opening all the doors. And actually, it's very interesting. All the works are in English because he works in a university town. So it's very international where he works at. And all the people, he has people from over 90 different countries in his church. Some from Latino countries, we can still use our Spanish. Some from Middle Eastern countries, some from Africa. Some from other parts of Europe. So they just all kind of settle on English as the common language for church. So we can jump right into the work. And actually, we just had a little change there a couple weeks ago. There's another missionary in the South who works with the military, and he's going to retire at the end of this year or the end of next year, one of the two. He wasn't sure. And so we were talking about, you know, taking over his church, and we'd work with my friend, Brother Junior, over there in the North, and we'd work together. But this other missionary, his 31-year-old son died very suddenly, like, what, 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago? He's had a heart attack. 31 years old, just died out of the blue. And his son left behind a two-year-old daughter, and his wife is pregnant, 4 or 5 months pregnant. So he wants to get back as soon as possible with the grandkids, he told me. So he called me up last week asking if we'd pray about taking his church, and which is also in English. We'd learn French eventually. We would learn French eventually. But so I told him I'd pray about that. So it looks like we can jump right into the work. There's a work in the north. There's work in the south. And my friend and I, we're going to work together and plant a church in the east part of the country because people drive about 2.5 hours away to go to his church just because there's just a lack of good Baptist churches in that country. So actually, there's a huge need. 11 million people in Belgium, not very many missionaries. And Lord just told me, like, go ahead. That's where you need. That's where I want you to go. And I know we're in Costa Rica, and I know that's where we were. And our heart, Costa Rica will always have a part of our heart. We can barely watch our video without crying, without getting emotional. It's just really, it's still rough. But we've got to the point now where it's almost like a death of a loved one. We spent 5 years there. I love our people. They're still in contact with us. We still talk to them a lot. Still pray for them. But I know the Lord has the next step open for us. So we're excited, Lord willing. We left in February, Costa Rica. And I actually had set up a furlough like a year and a half ago. And it was a perfect switching time where I could just report to the churches. And Lord willing, in September, we're going over there. So I didn't want to really mess around. Lord gives you a vision or a burden, just get going, right? So that's what we're going to do, Lord willing. In September, we'll head over there. I do thank you, Pastor. I called him, asked him. I just wanted a place to hook up. And he said, well, why don't you come and present too? So I do thank you for that. It's very, very kind of you. I know you're asking for RVs. You guys can borrow ours. I've lived it for 3.5 months. I'm done with it, okay? I am done with that. It's my dad's, okay? So call him first. If he says yes, then I'm cool with it too. but yeah, we've lived in it long enough, right? So that's what the Lord's putting in our hearts. Does anyone have any questions or anything before we jump into the message? Or any questions about Costa Rica or Belgium or anything like that? If not, no big deal. I feel like I'm like constantly looking over here because there's almost no one over here. This isn't like the separating the sheep and the goats, right? No? Okay, just make. I hope not because my family's on the goat side. And I sat over there as well. So no questions? All right. We will go to the message then. Pastor said it is summer scheduled, so preach until 9 or 10 o'clock. That's what he said. No, honestly, I do appreciate Wednesday night church people. Before I went to the mission field, I ran my own business for about 16 years. I did lawn care landscaping, did about 120 yards a week with only one worker. When we busted it every week. And so, I mean, it was tiring. But I'd go to church, and you sit in church and try not to fall asleep during church. And sometimes the pastor would preach an hour and a half, and it's like, you want to be spiritual, say amen, but you just kind of want them to stop so you go home and go to bed. So it's true. So I will not do that to you tonight. But I do appreciate people that come out Wednesday nights. I know you worked all day, and I know you're tired, but I do thank you for that. Who are the ones that all went to the reservation? Okay. That's a lot what it looked like as well, from what you guys were describing. The brother there said he got bit by a dog. I feel your pain. One time I was door knocking down there in Tirasas. And there was this little dog, this little yapper dog, started barking at me. And it started chasing me a little bit, but didn't have any teeth. So I thought, should I run from it or not? And I just kind of sit in it. It's coming closer and closer. And then there's a bigger dog behind it with a full set of teeth chasing me. It's like, you know what? I'm going to run. So I started running, and I felt really stupid because it looked like I was running from a dog about this big that was toothless. So I just felt really stupid. But I was hoping everyone would see the second dog behind them. So I just ran and got in my car. So I do feel your pain, brother. I really do. All right, we're going to start off with a word of prayer, first of all. Dear Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, I thank you for this church. Lord, I thank you for the people that have come out here. Lord, on a Wednesday evening, they're not here just to fulfill a checklist. Lord, they're here because they love you. Lord, ask you just get me out of the way. Ask you just speak through me. Lord, just give them what you've given me out of this. If it is your will in your name, amen. Okay, I grew up close to Chicago, and I've always had this bad habit of talking very fast. My mom grew up in eastern Pennsylvania, and those people talk really fast. So I kind of picked up her bad habits. So am I talking too fast? Or are we good? We're good. Okay. Okay. When I'm down south, it's really rough. I have to really slow down. Then I learned Spanish, which is even a faster language, so I it doesn't sound like it, but I do actually consciously think about slowing down. So if I talk too fast, just tell me I'm talking too fast, okay? I won't slow down, but I'll think about it. So first time I preached, my dad's a pastor as well, and he asked me to preach, and we were married at that point. And he said, "Do you want to preach?" I said, "Sure." And it's for Sunday school. I read the entire book of Jonah, and I preached on it, and I was done in 15 minutes. So I looked down, I went like this. I never looked up once. And my wife said, she's in the back going like this, like, slow down. But I never looked up once. Sunday school started at 8:15. I looked up, it was 8:30. I'm like, oh, Bible drills. But you can't do that with adults. So I do think about slowing down, but I generally don't. I try to, though. All right. So I didn't tell you where to go because we're going to talk about something that it's not normally preached about. They always talk about missionaries. Well, Jesus Christ is the first missionary. And they always talk about him leaving his home in heaven, coming down. And yeah, he was the best missionary ever, really. Not really. He's the best missionary ever. But when he left behind some other missionaries, didn't he? Left behind 12 disciples. And they went out two by two. They went out there. They went out through all the world preaching the gospel, the Bible says. But 80% of Christians cannot name those 12 disciples. So I know it's Wednesday, I know we worked all day, but we're taking a pop quiz, okay? All right, we'll start over here. Name me one disciple, this group.
Andrew.
This group. Okay, now this group. Andrew. James, this group.
Peter.
Do you want me to single you out or no? You what?
John.
Four.
Josh.
What'd you say?
Thomas.
Five.
Matthew.
Six. Luke, you're skipping. Luke is not a disciple, though.
Judas,
we'll go with the bad one, okay. She says other Judas. Okay, other Judas.
Thaddeus,
also known as? No, also known as Lebius. Nine. This group? Bartholomew, also known as? just to his best friends. Just to his best friends. Also known as Nathaniel. Also known as Nate, I guess. I don't know. Okay, that's a good one. Where are we at? 10? We at 10? Okay, we won't sing out these two groups. So just anyone in general. We're at 10.
Did they say now? Anybody say now?
Yes, Pastor did. My kids may not, because you've heard this before. So, we're cheaters, okay? And I'm not, don't you look in the Bible. I see you're peeking. Are you peeking?
No.
You are peeking. I saw that. No cheating. Simon, yes. Simon the Zealot, also Simon the Canaanite. We're missing one. We said Peter. We said one James. We're the other James. There we go. All right. And who is the 13? Who is the one that replaced Judas Iscariot? Matthias. All right. What were the two requirements to be a disciple? We see this in Acts 1. And? Yes. There we go. So we know Paul wasn't one because he wasn't there at the baptism. He was probably he's the best Christian for me that ever lived, but he's not one of the 12. But these are the 12 men that the Bible said in Acts that they turned the world upside down. They filled Jerusalem with the preaching, the Bible said. They changed the whole world. And if you think about it, what's the difference between their God and our God? Nothing. It's the same God, isn't it? It's the same God, same Jesus Christ. What's the difference now? The followers, right? The followers. But these 12 men, we have direct ties to them. They've went out and led people to the Lord, who led people to the Lord, who led people to the Lord, who led people to the Lord, all the way down to us. Really, if you think about it, and hopefully the line doesn't stop with us, hopefully we lead other people to the Lord as well. If you're a Christian, you should lead people to the Lord. I really do believe that. These 12 men, and honestly, it took all of us here to guess their names. These men are they're not talked about a whole lot in the Bible. We're going to go to Matthew 10 from Mrs. Peeker there. Matthew 10, verse 1. It's okay, I cheat at games too. In fact, I'm under like a lifetime ban right now. If I get caught cheating at a game, I have to take the family to Dairy Queen. So, yeah, I know. They've only caught me once. So, I'm just a bad liar. So they just ask me if I cheat and I laugh. That's the problem. I'm a good cheater, but a bad liar. So, Matthew 10, verse 1 says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Here we go. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not." And these are the 12 men that filled up Jerusalem, that changed the world, turned the world upside down. Now, there's something about each one of these men. They weren't perfect men. That's great. They're flawed men. They all had issues. They all had sins. Who here has issues? Not like mental. Okay, just, I'm not saying nobody's crazy, but who here? We're all flawed. We're all sinners. You know what's great is Jesus Christ doesn't say, "Yeah, no, you have this. I can't use you." He said, "No, I can use you. If you're willing, I can use you." We're going to look at some of the issues, some of the flaws, the negatives of the disciples, and then we're going to look at some of their positives, because I find it very encouraging that because Jesus Christ can use someone like this, he can use someone like us. It's wonderful. What was Peter's biggest issue? Well, he had many issues. But he kept talking, didn't he? He opened mouth and sore foot. That was his issue. And we know he doubted Jesus Christ 3 times. He rebuked Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus called him Satan. He cut off a servant's ear. What else did he? He was always saying something. Always. I mean, he could never leave a moment quiet. It's like if it's a quiet moment, he'd say, "Oh, I have to say something." Didn't he? Always. He always had issues. But Jesus Christ still used him, didn't he? Another thing I like about these disciples, what were a lot of them doing when Jesus called them? What were they were fishing. Some were fishers, some were tax collectors, or one was a tax collector. These guys were out doing something. And Jesus Christ just saw them, and they weren't, you know, in the seminary, the best of the best in Bible Institute. They weren't number one. They were just out working, doing their thing. And Jesus said, "Hey, you, come with me." And they said, "You know what? I'm working." No, Jesus said, "Come on, come with me. I'll make you fishers and men." And Peter went, and James and John and Andrew, all these men went. Matthew, the tax collector, I don't think he was probably the best liked of the 12 disciples. Not really. Does anyone here like IRS agents? No, I don't think so. Not really. When I was in Bible Institute, I went a little bit later in life. We had 3 kids. So I went to night school, a Bible class at night, and then I worked all day. So it was really rough. But one night, my wife wasn't there at the house. She went to see her family or something. And I was in the bathroom tying a tie, trying to get it. I'm not a very good tie tier. I actually downloaded an app when I went to Bible school to learn how to tie ties, because I don't like ties. So I was sitting there trying to fix it in the mirror, and I hear this really insistent knock on the front door. And I'm like, okay, I go and open the door, and there's a badge in my face. And it says, "I'm Agent so-and-so from the IRS. So in my heart just started pounding. You ever get that? And you're thinking, like, did I pay my taxes? I think I paid my taxes. I did, didn't I? I'm sure I did. I know. It's not April 15th. I know I'm good. And all this is going to my mind. And he's like, "I'm Agent so-and-so. I'm looking for Sean Smith." Said, "He's next door." He was. He lived next door. Thank the Lord he was not after me. He was after the neighbor. So I don't know what happened to him, but they weren't after me, so that's all I cared about. But some of these disciples, they all had issues. They all had problems. What was James and John, what were they known as?
Sons of Thunder.
And why is that? Why was that? Because they were hotheads, right? We can go to Luke 9:54. Another thing about Peter is that he was outright cursing people. So you're a follower of Jesus? He's like, blank, be blank, no, I'm not. And he's had issues with his mouth, had issues with just saying things all the time. The sons of thunder had issues with their temper. Look here at Luke 9:53. It says, "And they did not receive him," talking about Jesus Christ, "because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?'" That'd be awesome, though, wouldn't it? To have that gift? Man, that'd be awesome. I clearly don't have it, because a lot of people would be dead. But that's okay. But they had issues with their temper. What was Thomas's issue? Doubting. Who here has doubted the Lord? If you don't raise your hand, you're a liar, because we've all doubted the Lord. Who's here doubted the Lord more than one time? I doubted the Lord a lot the last 2 days. Man, my prayer life got really high last year. We drove through Wyoming in 50-mile-an-hour winds. Oh, man, my prayer life got really good last 2 days. And I was doubting. I did not think we were going to survive here. I was this close to calling pastor and saying, you know what? We're staying put. We're not coming up. But we made it here. Thank the Lord. But I feel sorry for these poor disciples as they have one issue or so. And for all the rest of time, us Christians get to read the Bible and point the finger at them. I've doubted the Lord more than one time. No one calls me doubting Brent. You know, thank the Lord. Thomas doubted one time, the Bible says, and he's forever doubting Thomas. But we've all doubted the Lord. We all have. I know we have. Like we've talked about Matthew, the tax collector. So they all have some kind of flaw, some kind of great flaw that people saw, that the Lord Jesus Christ saw. The Lord Jesus Christ knew when he called them. When Jesus calls us, it's great because it's not like, oh, he didn't realize something about us. He called us knowing our faults and our sins and our flaws. He calls us. He doesn't call us to, oh, wait, I forgot. He calls us and like, oh, wait, you're a doubter? Oh, I didn't know that. That's great, isn't it? He's like, oh, you got temper? Oh, I did not know that about him. Maybe I shouldn't have called him. Then he goes and looks. No, Jesus Christ knew our flaws. He knows our weaknesses when he calls us. And he still uses us. How awesome is that? That is wonderful. It's something we don't deserve. And we're going to go to, let's see, I have notes all everywhere. We're going to go to Mark 9, verse 30. And this isn't really a sermon, more so as a lesson. We're not going to focus too much more on their negative parts because I want to get to the good stuff. But I am a good Baptist, but I focus on the negative and the positive. I'm not Joel Osteen that just focus on the positive, right? So he's got wonderful teeth and wonderful hair. Man, someday I'm going to get teeth like him. But that's someday I'll get his hair, too. It'll have to be a wig, but I'll still get it. It'll look good. Mark 9, we're going to read about verse 33. Mark 9:33 says, "And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, 'What was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way?' But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, 'If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all.' And he took a child and set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken them in his arms, he said unto them, 'Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name, receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me.'" So they had some pettiness. Like, I'm better than you. No, I'm better than you. My dad's stronger than your dad. My dad can beat you up, right? And now how the kids go now, they probably start sticking their tongues out at each other as they're going, too, like that. Who knows? And Jesus said, "What are you guys doing?" "Nothing." You ever deal with your kids? "What are you guys fighting about back there?" "Nothing." Because they know it's kind of silly. Disciples are the same way. They're fighting about who's the best. Jesus said, "I don't care who's the best. You just be a servant. Just be a servant." So they all had some issues. They had some flaws. They had some problems. And Jesus Christ said, "That's okay. Because I can use you." We all have issues. We all have sins. We all have flaws. Jesus Christ says, "It's okay. I can use you." So I want to look at the good things now about these disciples here. With Peter, like I said, what was his biggest issue? Was his mouth, right? So what was also his biggest strength? Was his boldness. Was his mouth. We can go to Acts 2. I know Peter denied Jesus Christ 3 times. I know he stumbled and fell there. But what does the Bible say about a just man falling? How many times does he get up? How many times does he rise? 7 times. Peter kind of stumbled there, and man, he got up. And after this, you never see him doubting God in the Bible again. Acts 2, verse 14 says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, 'Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words.'" If you look at Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 4, Acts 5, he's preaching. Every chance he got, he's preaching. He's preaching. And usually, he's preaching Jesus. Usually, he's saying, "You killed Jesus. You killed Jesus." He had boldness. I want to have the boldness of Peter. You know, as Christians, we can talk with anyone about anything, right? We talk about weather. We talk about sports. We talk about politics. We talk about job. We talk about money. But we don't talk about Jesus Christ. That seems to be where we kind of draw the line, isn't it? And it's sad. But Jesus Christ is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Why can't I talk about him more? Peter said, "I'm not ashamed." Paul said in Romans 1, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," right? I want to have the boldness of Peter. I want to say, "You know what? I'm going to talk about Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell this person about Jesus. I'm going to tell this person about Jesus." And if you look in Acts, in this time, Acts 2 through 5, this is the best time in the Bible of the church. Daily people are added. He preached one time and 3,000 people got saved. Daily the Bible says they're just coming in. This is the most exploding growth in the history of the church. This is where it happened right here. And Peter, was mostly because Peter was sitting there preaching. and boldness, and his boldness in preaching Jesus Christ to every person that was around. I want to have the boldness of Peter. The world always gives us open doors, doesn't it? Growing up, they'd always talk to people would always say, "What's up?" And they'd say, "What's up?" to my dad. Say, "What's up?" And my dad would say, "Heaven. Hope you're going there." They give you a great open door, don't they? But you know, as Christians, you know what we do? We're polite. We close the door because the air's on, right? It's the air conditioning. Though. We don't want to just like an open door. Like, "Oh, we'll close that door. Excuse us. We weren't born in a barn. We close the door here," right? No. If someone gives you an open door, take advantage of it. Talk about Jesus Christ. And we were in where were we at? Colorado Springs, a few months ago. I don't remember where I'm at. Who's going? Are you going driving to New York? I feel sorry for you. Okay, I was there a few months. Don't go to New York. Okay, do not go to New York City. They're evil there. But they need Jesus. Okay, but we were in Colorado Springs and we were at some thrift store and I was just looking at books and this little kid walks up to me and he just starts talking to me, talking about 15 minutes. And he's just a goofball. He's a crazy kid. He's hilarious. He he walks and he goes like this. He's like, "Yes." He's probably about 8 years old. He goes, "Yes, sir, I'm right on that." I go, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm a police officer." He goes, "I'm a man of the law. If there's a problem in here, I'll take care of it." He starts talking to me like this. And so I was joking around with him. And I said, "Oh, you're going to be a Secret Service agent one day and watch the president?" He said, "Oh, yes, but not this one because he's horrible." Yeah, you're right. And his mom's like over there. She's like, "What are you saying, Nico?" I said, "He's saying the truth." So it's funny. But then he asked, "So do you come here a lot?" I said, "No." I said, "I'm a missionary." He goes, "Oh, you're a Christian." And he starts talking. And this kid knew his Bible. And I said, "My oldest son's name is Joab." He goes, "Oh, like David's general in the Bible." Whoa, look at this kid. I was shocked. I was like, "Whoa, yeah." And he told me, and he starts talking all about Jesus, all about being a Christian. And his mom walked up and she said, "Is he bothering you?" I said, "Oh, no, not at all." I said, "In fact, he's pretty bold. I'm impressed with him." And she said that he walked up to some lady a few days prior to that, had like rainbow color hair and all these little gay things everywhere. And he asked her, "Are you a Christian?" The first thing he said to her. And he said she was so upset, so embarrassed that she just walked away. I said, "Man, your boy has more boldness than most adult Christians." I said, "Don't you ever squash that with him. Have the boldness of Peter. Tell everyone about Jesus Christ." Next, I'm going to talk about John here a little bit. John 13, verse 23. John 13, verse 23. What was the name that John gave himself in the Bible? What was the name that he gave himself? No, that's Peter. He was a stone. But John kind of gave, in this book here, he gave himself a name. The Beloved and the Disciple whom Jesus loved. Yes. And I know, I feel like I'm kind of rushing through these disciples, but for the sake of time, down in Costa Rica, I actually preached in like a three or four week series on these disciples, just because there's so much here. And actually, we don't really look at the disciples a whole lot. But I'm going to talk about a couple of them tonight, but I'll talk about the love that John had for Jesus Christ. John 13, 23 says, "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved." If you look all throughout John here, he's always talking about how much he loves Jesus Christ. He's talking about, I'm the disciple that Jesus loves. He had this deep love for Jesus Christ that really we don't have nowadays. And the world will sit there and tell you this is a perverted love, and it's not. That's horrible of the world to even think about that. But we need to have a deep, deep love for Jesus Christ. I know here in America, we don't have idols, right? We don't have little statues. We don't bow down to idols. But anything in our heart before Jesus Christ is an idol. Whether it's money, whether it's our job, whether it's whatever it is, having fun, sports, whatever it is. And I'm not saying that stuff is bad. But if it comes before Jesus Christ, it's an idol. Don't let anything in your life, anything in your heart come before Jesus Christ. John was always close to Jesus Christ. Even at the end of the book, when Jesus was scolding Peter or rebuking Peter for denying him three times, where was John? He was just a little bit behind, just following along. Always hanging around Jesus Christ. At the Last Supper, he's leaning on Jesus Christ. He's always by Jesus Christ. He's had this deep love for Jesus Christ. And a lot of times we let things get in the way, we let issues get in the way, and our love for Jesus Christ kind of waxes hot and cold. Doesn't it? It's just kind of, it's life. It is. We can be honest. It's life. We're not always on fire for Jesus Christ. I wish it were the truth. But sometimes our life gets happening and we're busy and we're tired and we're just exhausted and our love for Jesus Christ isn't as burning as it should be. It really is. But John had this deep love for Jesus Christ and it lasted all the way to the end of his life. It really did. It was amazing. And the disciples even talked about it. Because when John was there and Peter says, "Well, What about him? What's going to happen to him? And Jesus said, none of your business. That's modern vernacular. Okay? It's the modern vernacular. But that's the disciples knew that Jesus Christ loved John, and they knew that John loved Jesus Christ as well. I want people around me that see me and say, that man loves Jesus Christ. That should be the first thing to say about me. That man's on fire and loves Jesus Christ. As Christians, that should be the first thing people notice about us. It's our love for Jesus Christ. And John had this love for Jesus Christ. And I'm going to kind of rush through a little quick to some of these. But I want to have the boldness of Peter, the love that John had for Jesus. We're going to go to John chapter 1. Talk about another disciple here. And this man is my favorite disciple. And he's really not talked about. I never really understood why he's not really talked about. In fact, he's only mentioned three times in the Bible outside the list. I think Matthew has a list and John has a list of the 12 disciples. And he's mentioned in those. But only three times is Andrew ever mentioned in the Bible, apart by himself. And we're going to read those three times. John chapter 1, verse 40. It says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, and thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. All right, now we're going to go to John 6, verse 8. John chapter 6, verse 8. These are the only three times he's mentioned in the Bible, outside the lists. And this is the story here, the feeding of the 5,000. We know this very famous story here. But John 6, 8 says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here, which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many? And now we're going to go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 20. John chapter 12, verse 20. It says, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. So we see the three times that Andrew is mentioned. What's he doing every single time? Bringing people to Jesus. Every single time. He's only mentioned three times. He brought his brother, he brought a little boy, and he brought the Greeks to see Jesus Christ. I want to have the heart of Andrew. Constantly bring people to Jesus Christ. And like I said, I don't understand why that main group is Peter, James, and John. And Andrew is never mentioned there, but Andrew is the one that brought Peter. Andrew never preached and 3,000 people got saved. I've never preached and 3,000 people got saved. That'd be wonderful, but it probably won't happen in my lifetime. But I can lead the one that leads 3,000 people to the Lord. That's what Andrew did. He brought Peter to Jesus Christ. And every person, everything that Jesus Christ, that Andrew brought to Peter, or to Jesus Christ, excuse me, he brought Peter. God, Jesus used him mightily. He brought the little boy, the five loaves and two fishes. What did Jesus Christ do with that? This is nasty. I can't do that. What did he do? Use it mightily. The Greeks, he used them here. Every time Andrew brought someone to Jesus Christ used them. Every time we can bring someone to Jesus Christ, think of how Jesus Christ can use them. Have that heart of Andrew. I know there's 12 other disciples. We're not going to talk about all the others. We're just going to mention real quick here. Matthew, the willingness to leave everything to follow Jesus Christ. He was a rich man. He was a rich man, had a nice house. Those tax collectors had a lot of money. When Jesus Christ said, come follow me, what did Matthew say? Have you seen my house? It's pretty sweet. Have you seen my chariot? The thing's awesome. And what did Jesus Christ say? I have nowhere to lay my head. And Matthew's like, well, I got all this. Yeah, I'm going to go. What about Thomas? The willingness just to admit that he was wrong and follow Jesus Christ. We have Nathaniel with a pure heart. We have all these other ones that follow Jesus Christ, that is obedient to the end. And of these 12 disciples, we know that all of them except John died a martyr's death, according to the Bible and according to history. These 12 men, or 11 of the 12 men, all died a martyr's death. But they served Jesus Christ to the very last of their being. I want to be like these 12 disciples. I want to have the boldness, the willingness to do whatever Jesus Christ wants me to do, the love for Jesus Christ, the heart to win the lost. These are 12 men that the Bible said changed the world. They have the same God we have. They have the same Jesus Christ that we have. We could change the world. But it takes us selling out to Jesus Christ, doing what he wants us to do. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord.